When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Monday morning. Well, a great weekend of football to react to. Obviously, a lot through the prism of what it means from an Eagles standpoint. Wild day in the NFL yesterday. We'll talk about it extensively. Eagles, obviously, at 8-2 are in great shape. Now, there's some other teams really good also. We saw that yesterday. We'll talk about it all today. We'll get into the 76ers, another game tonight. Another loss over the weekend. Flyers win over the weekend. By the way, Flyers getting closer, much closer, actually, to a playoff spot than the Sixers. So we'll see what to make of that. All right, all of it with you on the phone lines, including the Mike Tyson fight. Your phone call is 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The average human eyelash lives 150 days.
Wow.
It's really not much going on with that. It grows. It rests. It falls out. 150 days later, it's just gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that's the hair factor.
It's not very gratifying. That is not a gratifying life cycle for an eyelash.
We rub our eye.
Well,
area
you
stuff.
Rub your eye.
I do.
You rub your eyes to pain.
Contacts back in, and, by the way.
Well, thank goodness.
Looking good.
Were not capably reading last Friday.
No, I
this
wasn't.
This is not something I was talking about much, but you really...
I can't
you
read.
You looked awful.
I'm aware.
Holding your phone 3 inches from your face.
Yeah, well, it's a whole new
3 inches from one eye.
A whole new me.
You've got one eye closed. What? You've got the phone 3 inches from your other eye, yeah. And that's how you read when you don't have your contacts.
Correct.
In.
All right. So I had my contacts in yesterday afternoon into the night to watch football. Man, John, there was a lot to consume. So let's get at it here with what stood out to you. Whether it's as an NFL fan or obviously primarily through the prism of being an Eagles fan and what we saw. Look, your chance to react to 215-592-9494. I'll just say this off the top because most of what I'll get to today has to do with the Eagles. But before I even go there, I just want to say, man, the biggest thing that actually stood out to me yesterday is the greatness of the NFL and how we are fortunate as humans to live in this era where we have the NFL. I mean, Steelers, Ravens, awesome. Bears, Packers, not quite as awesome, but compelling. I mean, very compelling. So that was a quality game. Bills, Chiefs, bonkers. Then you get Sunday Night Football. Like, what a day of football. I mean, that's just the regular, Channel 3, Channel 10, or no, Fox, whatever the heck it was. Like, that's just the regular stuff. You know, forget if you deep dived into the, the ticket and all that. I mean, the games were great. So I feel fortunate as an American to stand here today in an era where the NFL dominates. Look, I think the next thing that really comes into focus for me, John, is that team greatness as we approach Thanksgiving.
That's the wrong thing. That's the wrong thing that should come into focus for you. I was hoping you'd come in today and say, man, epiphany, guys. You're right. I am way too critical of our quarterback because the rest of the quarterbacks make mistakes too.
Well,
the really old ones who are really good make mistakes just like ours does.
I had that as point number three, but okay, go ahead.
I think that should be first and foremost. It is so important.
I didn't write it quite the way you said it, but okay.
Lights,
okay.
That matters.
Go ahead.
That's not my biggest question. My biggest question was, how do we compare in the NFC? How do we compare to this Detroit team? How do we compare to the 49ers team? How do we look against good teams out there? Man, San Francisco and Seattle, they're both 5-5. I didn't think Seattle was going to be good. I thought San Fran was. You told me, I don't know, a month ago.
Well, I think like a week ago, I said.
Last week, and I was like, they just almost lost their last game.
So I'm still not off them possibly climbing back in this, but John, go ahead.
No, they could. They could climb back into it. That's it's okay. They're 5-5, but I'm not counting them out. They've got Christian McCaffrey back. Right. They just waited out Christian McCaffrey's injury.
That loss does hurt them, though.
Week 9 bye.
Yeah, I know.
Which is unbelievable. Now here they sit in a major hole. You know, Brock Purdy yesterday threw for 159 yards. I don't know if you noticed that part. A touchdown and an interception. You know,
I understand.
Remember, there are other teams whose quarterback throws less than 40 times a game.
Yep.
Actually, it looked like all the quarterbacks out there who were successful were throwing less than the quarterbacks who were losing. That's just the way the NFL looks now. And how do we – okay, so the big question for me, how do we compare to Detroit? Because they're seemingly out in front. And our defense is better. I believe that. Our defense is ahead of Detroit's defense, but we're not there as a team because their offense is crazy. Their offense is on another planet good and a class of their own. They set – a franchise record. They gained 645 yards against Jacksonville. We know Jacksonville might have given up in many ways.
Yep.
Jacksonville picked up 170 yards to 645.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's as non-competitive as
but
it gets.
Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, I think that's the interesting part. They went 3-for-3 on fourth down conversions. They were still going for it late in the game. They're still scoring touchdowns. He is remorseless in the way this head coach is remorseless in the way they attack. And that's the way the team attacks. And that's why part of why they're so scary. So, yeah, Detroit is good. And they make teams quit.
Well, they're more than good. They're great. Yeah. I mean, John, I'll say this. And again,
I didn't think they could be because the quarterback would hold them back. But they are out in front.
Yeah, no, I thought, I'm shocked by what Jared Goff's doing, and a lot of credit to that guy and their coaching staff. Obviously, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Biggest thing or things that stood out to you from yesterday, particularly through the prism of the Eagles. I mean,
how about John, the Chargers leaning into the run so much? The Chargers with a young quarterback who's really good, Justin Herbert. Yep. Justin Herbert is outstanding, and man, he was in total control of the game yesterday, where they defeated a Bengals team that they look like they missed the train.
Well,
the Bengals look like they waited too long to turn it on.
I agree.
And now they're standing around looking at each other like, whoa.
Yeah, they're in
what
some
happened?
They're in some trouble. The second biggest thing that stood out to me yesterday is team greatness is starting to come into focus as we approach Thanksgiving. And it's really through the prism of four teams primarily. In the AFC, it's the Chiefs and the Bills, whatever order you want to put them. In the NFC, it's the Eagles and the Lions. That's what it is. I mean, and that's great. That's a great spot for us as an Eagles fan to be in. Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Eagles. Now, I know the Steelers fans out there, what about us? I don't take you serious. I'm just being honest with you. You got a nice little team. Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. I don't think they're legit. Ravens, you know, you guys know I think Lamar typically bungles it up come playoff time. Obviously, they're very good, but I just don't put too much stock into them. I am wary and aware of the Packers. We saw them surge last year, December into January. I don't discount them. Look, they're going to be a wild card team in all likelihood because they're in the same division as the Lions. It's an incredible division. And by the way, that's the kind of team the Eagles, I hate to say it, could face.
Third, too.
Could face in the first round.
Because the Vikings are 8-2.
Yeah, so like you could have an Eagles Packers. So just be aware of that. You know, I don't think we should discount and dismiss the 49ers. But obviously that loss hurt them. But
their schedule is brutal.
Well, it happens when you have a lot of wins.
It gets bad, yeah. They don't have an easy one left.
I'm
Packers,
aware.
Bills, Bears, Ravens, Dolphins,
But I mean, team focus, Eagles are right there. So that's a big one. The third biggest takeaway for me is, John, Jalen's stretch of barely turning it over has been awesome. I believe it's 5 out of 6 games without a turnover. I mean, obviously you see the Chiefs and you see the Bills, and there's back-to-back turnovers, like right out of the gate. You know, you got a Mahomes floater.
He's got 11.
Yeah, I know. You got a Mahomes floater there. You got a Josh Allen turnover. And the reality is that a big part of how the Eagles have won is that Jalen has been much more judicious with the ball. and it's made a tremendous difference. Should I back off some of my criticism of Jalen? Sure. Some of it. I'm not going to go as full tilt, John, as you probably want me to, but I will say, is it eye-opening watching all the other games, sitting back on a Sunday, no Eagles, no Jalen, no nothing there, and say, what do I see elsewhere? Yeah, I see other quarterbacks turning it over at a rate that obviously is different than Jalen did. So I will definitely tell you he deserves tremendous credit. I believe it's 5 out of 6 games without a turnover. I think the one game there was 2. And other than that, I think there's been 0 5 times out of 6, and that's phenomenal. And yes, other quarterbacks both don't throw to an open receiver, and yes, other quarterbacks don't, and yes, other quarterbacks have inaccuracies to an open receiver,
and they don't see They don't see a guy, and people call him out. You know, the guy calling the game. Oh man, running free, scot free. I hate it when they do that. It is impossible to see through that quarterback's eyes when you're when you're sitting up in a booth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna pull back from thinking that Jalen does it more than most. Quote, good quarterbacks. I do believe he does.
Well,
but
I think that has everything to do with the fact that he's young and he's learning and he's continuing to adapt to the fact that he's had a different play caller year after year, and a different offense year after year after year. Ben Johnson in Detroit, the guy who's calling the plays with Jared Goff, the guy who's resuscitated Jared Goff's career, and the guy who everyone wants to be their head coach next year. It's 3 years in a row, 3 years in the same offense. That means so much, and Jalen has never gotten that.
No, you're right. He hasn't. So, look, all of this on the table. The fourth and final thing I'll say out of the gate, and I got a lot more because it was a good day to watch football. There's no one in the NFL like Saquon. There's just not. I'm not telling you he's the best player in the league because I think Mahomes is the best player. I feel certain of that. I think Josh Allen is next. Somewhere after that, you're probably going to get to guys like Lamar and Burrow. But, I mean, there is nobody in the league like Saquon Barkley. And he is, for my money, the MVP right now. Now, I know when this thing's all said and done, there's a good chance it's Mahomes or it's Lamar or it's Josh Allen. I totally get that. But as we sit here getting close to Thanksgiving, I think it'll be a travesty if Saquon doesn't get it. I really do. I mean, as of this moment, let's put it that way, he is an unbelievable football player, and it was like a bummer to have a Sunday without Saquon, because we've gotten used to Sundays with Saquon. All right, look, 215-592-9494, but the Eagles are in a great spot. 8-2 is a great record. They're totally in the hunt. There's no question about that. They've got some interesting games coming up, obviously. Gets a little harder with some of the teams they play coming up. You know, to a large extent, we're looking forward to that, to sizing up the Eagles. But it's going to be a stretch run here for playoff positioning and seeding, a year when you feel almost certain the Eagles are going to make it to the postseason. How far they'll get, we'll see. So I got a real conundrum here.
Woo!
And I need a ruling.
You got so many conundrums,
all right, here's my issue. Oh. My fantasy football team is in trouble. At 5-5, I'm about to be 5-6, might miss the playoffs. I'm facing Richie this week. He's in the lead. Here's the issue. I need the team facing the Dallas Cowboys tonight to give up a lot of points to the Dallas Cowboys. Seltzer, is it proper for me to root? Because he's got, John, who's the defense you get? Who they playing? The Texans or something?
Yeah. Correct.
So yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe 30 or 40 points. Like, James, am I a bad guy if I root for Cooper Rush and the Cowboys tonight? I need it.
Yes, you're a bad guy.
But I need it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make the playoffs anyway. What difference does it make? And it'll hurt their draft stock next year.
That's a good point. You know, all right, you're spinning me right here. This is not too bad here. This is a good angle
for the
right
Cowboys
there.
Is that acceptable?
Absolutely not.
But
you're going straight to hell.
But I need it. My fantasy football team.
So your needs supersede, like, the entire Delaware Valley?
What's right and just.
Correct.
I don't know. All right, what's your biggest reaction from yesterday and takeaway? There was a lot of football to consume, and most of it was really entertaining. A lot of it tied into the Eagles. There's no question about that. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Paul in Downingtown kicks us off. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Paul.
A great day of NFL football, and I think the comparison for our Eagles is the Lions, and I think it put a lot of things in stark relief for me, because the Lions were able to score on their first 7 possessions. They didn't just score. They scored touchdowns. And when you look at the Lions, you see an offensive line that wins their assignments pretty much every play. You see a running back group that wins their assignments pretty much every play. And wide receivers that win their assignments every play, and tight ends that wins their assignments pretty much every play. That really sounds familiar, because that's what we have here. And what we have in our quarterback is great, and it's I'm not saying anything bad about it. But what you see in Detroit by comparison is a quarterback that's really good at taking advantage of what's there. He doesn't have to do anything special. What he's good at is identifying where their offense is winning on each play and either handing the ball off to the appropriate guy or delivering the football on time and on target.
Paul, let me ask you a question. I'm just curious if you're headed here. I'm just wondering if this is where you're headed. Are you saying Goff is better than Hurts?
No. What I'm saying is that the Eagles are better served with a quarterback that maybe doesn't necessarily have all the special talents that Jalen does, but is better at exploiting what the Eagles do on every play, which is win their assignments. And I'm not saying anything bad about Hurts because I love the guy and I wish him success. But compared to some of the other quarterbacks in the league, Hurts struggles to take advantage of wins on every play. There aren't many quarterbacks that are at the helm of an 8-2 team that struggle to identify.
Paul, imagine when he is better within this offense. And remember, he started this offense in April. Remember that, too. This is a lot on his plate when he's got the protection, the calls, the communications, all of that, in addition to learning the new offense and the terminology and the communications. I do think that it's sort of par for the course, expectations-wise, that you watch a quarterback get better by just being in an offense consistently. By being around the same coach consistently from season to season, and especially if that's the coach that you're communicating directly with every day, the coach who's asking you, what do you like this week?
Paul, what's your reaction to that?
I agree with it, but how do you, after 5 years of seeing someone that struggles to throw the ball to the guy whose defender fell down, to throw the ball to the guy who got behind the zone in a lap zone coverage and is standing there wide open, a guy that consistently for 5 years and for his college career struggled to identify that and exploit it, how does that change with reps with the same coach and stuff like that? If it was going to change with reps, it would have already. Jalen would be better now at exploiting that than he was as a rookie, and he's not. So he's not going to get better at that, in my opinion.
All right, Paul. All right, Paul. We got you, John. I mean, it's right out of the gate.
I just said he's wrong.
Seltzer, I didn't set that call, but I just want everyone to know I did not set that call up, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not as far down the track as he is.
The problem is he calls the guy Hurtsy.
Yeah, but he meant it as a compliment. It's like
so odd.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the Flyers thing, right? Like Brindy and
it's a Flyers thing, not an Eagles thing.
Coatsy, and give me another one,
Seltzer.
Hartsy.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys know the Flyers are closer to the playoffs right now than the Sixers?
I did. Yeah.
Flyers, as of yesterday, now it might have changed last night. As of yesterday, the Flyers are 1 point out of a playoff spot. And the Sixers are what, 2-47?
Yeah, 2-48.
2-59. Joel is
2-10 yet? No, they're 2-9.
The Sixers are never going to win another game, is what it is.
He's questionable for tonight.
I know he is. Joel,
with an illness.
He's sick.
I know.
Yeah, I'm sick of him, John, in case you're wondering.
What is the record? All jokes aside, is it 9 or
2-10?
2-10.
2-10. It's bad, guys.
You got one guy going out there every night. Let's go.
Well, we have a Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all new 3-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin Chevy has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question: which team is more likely to make the playoffs? Is it A, the Flyers, or B, the Sixers? Flyers are closer. I'd still say Sixers, but listen, there's an argument at this point for the Flyers, particularly if Joel does play only 30 or 40 games. There is an argument. And 3 weeks ago, we would not have conceived that as a real possibility. It's crazy stuff. By the way, let's also get to the Gotta Doran window to the weekend. Looking back on the weekend, we just touched on the Sixers and Flyers, but looking back on the weekend, it's brought to us, of course, by Gotta Doran window. Take advantage of Gotta Doran window's big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call 1-877-GO-GOTTA or visit goguida.com. All right. So Flyers win, Sixers lose, Tyson loses.
Ugh, Doug Peterson, wow.
Yeah, well, Doug, it's so over with Doug. And he probably doesn't get that third crack at it. So, James, Mike Tyson, very underwhelming, your thoughts?
Yeah, there was one person who had the guts to stand up to Seth Joyner and say, no, I actually think Jake Paul's going to win by decision. And that was this guy. No, it was a bummer. I expected Jake Paul to win by a decision because I thought it would underwhelm overall and it would be, you know, kind of spar fest as it went on. But it was even worse than I expected.
First,
I mean,
30 seconds were fun.
Great. They
Tyson
went right at each other.
Yep.
Like, he had to. Tyson's only chance was to knock him out.
Yep.
And then he just ran out of gas quick. And
is it the gloves?
It.
Did the gloves make
nah,
that big
it's
a
the
difference?
31 years. He's 27
it's
years
stamina.
Old.
You were right, James. I was totally
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's what I thought going
Here's
in.
Here's when you know a fight wasn't good. When the most exciting thing of the evening is looking at Mike Tyson's bare butt. Okay, that's when you know it's a bad fight. Seriously. I mean, it's like Tyson's butt. There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most exciting part of the night. It was a dud. And then, streaming issues.
Or, yeah, when it would glitch and yeah.
They're doing
you'd
NFL
get
games on
jump
Christmas.
Up and down.
Yeah.
I'd just like to warn everybody.
And I think they'll have even more people watching.
You think?
I would
well,
think.
Well, I don't know. There was, what did they say,
60 million? It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Look, the other thing I'll say is that it reminds me of the greatness of boxing and what boxing has become. Like, I was genuinely excited Friday night to watch that. And so the greatness of boxing, most of us listening right now grew up on it. If you're 15 years old, you didn't grow up on it. But most people listening right now grew up on the greatness of boxing, whether it's Ali and Foreman and Frazier or Tyson in that era, you know, whatever. The greatness of boxing was a huge part of American sports. And I'd go
what
as far
this?
As to say there
is
was...
Is this called boxing still? Do we call this
yeah, but,
boxing?
But John,
that
this,
was.
But this is what we have.
We
have
know.
The most
it's
exciting.
Such a shame,
the most
though.
Exciting boxing match is the best from 40 years ago. What can he do today? That's the most exciting fight we can have.
And I don't. And I don't think it was. Well, I don't know. It was exciting. I thought there was a chance. I thought there was a moment that did have that big feel.
It was excited for 5 minutes,
up. And then
yeah.
and then as soon as that bell, you know. Man,
basically,
he got one punch in, and then it felt like, whoa, maybe that wasn't the way this is supposed to go.
Start of the third round, you knew we had a serious problem. First two rounds were pretty good. Third round, it's like, all right.
The legs were, they looked so frail.
Well, and Roy Jones was calling it.
Looked so frail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he was saying so much about the mouthpiece, too.
That was annoying.
The legs should have been the focus for his training, and he couldn't train them well enough. Sometimes I wonder how much that parallels what Joel's going dealing with to some degree.
Well, look,
Joel does have the legs of a 58-year-old.
It looked similar. Embiid looked Tyson-esque.
So in the midst of that sports update by Ray and me, Seltzer and Rich, you're all trying to figure out, when is this Eagles-Rams game?
Sunday night.
I thought it got moved. No? Hold on, let me see. It is still Sunday night. Yeah. Okay, you're right. My fault. John, my fault. I had John all excited. He wasn't going to have to stay up to 1 a.m. though.
Man.
All of us excited,
that was cruel, man.
I'm sorry. Well,
totally
a couple.
It was a thrill. Cool. I had like a moment of thrill. A
couple
and then,
games got moved, right?
Well, what the heck?
Remember a few weeks ago when we said the Eagles were going to get flexed out, and then they went on a 6-game winning streak. So I guess they didn't get flexed out. Hello, good morning, and welcome to Misinformation, otherwise known as Joe DeCamera here on WIP. Not as the hammer, though. I mean, as the hammer, it's outrageous. You know who's going to be in studio today? And he knows the greatness of the hammer. Irving Fryer is going to be in studio with us today at 8:40. Boy, James, that's a really dirty way to intro him.
It was.
He
poor
knows
Irving.
The greatness of the hammer.
Yeah. We'll have to ask Irving about that when he's in. We had Irving on before. He was amazing.
Wasn't he?
Like, he is pure, like, energy, personality.
Yeah.
He's super fun. I'm excited to have him back.
Yeah, he's a good... I mean, he was really, really good in here with us about 4 or 5 months ago. And I met him last year, and very entertaining.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
outstanding dude. And obviously, I mean, as a player, he walked the walk. He was a big time player in pro football. So his perspective on the Eagles and the whole deal, we'll get to that coming up in short order. By the way, I want to play some audio here of Kyle Brandt, because he's got a frustration with the tush push as it relates to one Eagles player and a potential award. Let's listen to Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network talking over the weekend.
I hate to say this here, but I'm pissed off right now. I'm pissed off at the tush push because I'm a purist who loves running backs, and that rugby scrum is ruining an all-time running back season. The Eagles tush push is going to stop Saquon Barkley from winning the MVP. He's got it all. He's got the team. He's got the highlights. He's got the storyline, the high-profile matchups down the stretch. He just needs bigger numbers, and they're being taken from him. Not by opposing defenses, by his own offense.
It's possible. It is possible.
Well, it's true.
Right?
Yeah. You got to think it would be. This is the way we do it. And it's very effective.
So, John, over the weekend, Ian Rappaport, this is really good reporting.
Think about this. I just want to say this.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
If you could snap the ball and have one less dangerous moment in a play, the play that we run where the ball is snapped to Jalen and then he deposits it over the end line.
Yeah.
That's one less transition of the ball.
Well, you can't lose yards. That's one thing.
It's very unlikely.
It's almost impossible.
There are advantages.
Just multiple advantages.
But that's a major advantage. Not having to exchange it once again.
Yeah. Yeah,
the possibility of a fumble.
Joe Pisarcik.
No doubt.
Right?
That's not
going to happen if you don't hand it off.
You talked about it when we started the show. The turnovers, Jalen turning it over or not has everything to do with how we fare.
Sure.
How every quarterback performs in that ratio.
Interesting nugget from the weekend. Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofolo. So Ian Rappaport reported it, but he said he and Garofolo worked on it together. They looked into Saquon's contract. No incentives for touchdowns.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a course. Not every agent would do that.
But
the agent and Saquon were on the same page to say, let's make sure there's no incentives related to touchdowns.
So
because he could have an extra 4-6 at this point. He really could.
And he probably will.
He's been tackled 11 times at the 1 or 2 yard line this season.
Wow, that's a hell of a stat.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's talk to Anthony right now. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, show. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Anthony.
Fantastic.
Okay. I was just talking wanted to talk about the Tyson fight.
Yeah.
And wanted to know if you knew that in his contract, he couldn't throw body shot. He couldn't throw uppercut. And if he knocked him out, he would lose the majority of his money.
I did not hear that.
No
Are you certain of this?
Black Twitter was going crazy over the weekend.
Well, I don't know that Twitter account.
I heard it before the fight, but I really didn't believe it. But then after the fight, because everybody was talking about, if you saw him, sparring before the fight, he was active, he was moving on his feet. But the fight, he was slow. And
but here's the problem with all those videos, Anthony, because I was getting excited about those videos also, but it was like a Ben Simmons jump shot thing.
Yeah.
It's like he can make one, he can make two. You know, Mike Tyson was showing you 15 or 20 seconds of a great fury and flurry, but it never was a 3-minute video.
That sure wasn't a flourish at the end of a round.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, Anthony. It just seemed, probably looking back, very misleading what was being put out there about what Tyson was putting together.
There are rumors of a controversial clause, but I don't know that it's there.
Yeah, Anthony, I don't know the truth. I just don't know.
I have one last question before I go.
By the way, I'll
no
just...
No body shots? No uppercuts?
Anthony,
that is unbelievable.
No, Anthony, here's the problem. Even if that clause is in, I don't know that Tyson would have had the energy to throw one.
The uppercut was his bag, though.
I know it was.
Boom!
All right, Anthony, I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead. What's your other point?
The 49ers finally done.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, they're not, because Christian McCaffrey is now back. He's only been a part of their team now for 2 games.
Yeah, they're not done. They're not done. Mm.
That's a tough division out there.
They're teetering, but they're not done, is the way I'd put it, Anthony. I mean, and Anthony, thanks for the call. So whoever wins that division is going to be the 4 seed. And so you're going to have a home playoff game. And look, San Fran's got about 2 months.
Well, they could be the 3 seed. The NFC South is, Atlanta's like 6-5 or 6-4.
Could be
this, like
3 or 4. Yeah. No, I just wouldn't.
They have a tough schedule. What helps them, though, is the Lions are the last game. So if the Lions don't need that game, then, unless they're battling. Mm-hmm. But they've got Packers, Bills, Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Lions. It's not exactly a totally easy slate.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
It's an awful stretch. But they have the capability to go and run a whole bunch of them in a row.
Yeah, yesterday's loss hurt them, though. That hurt them.
Yeah,
it really did.
That was an unexpected bump in the road. But then again, Seattle is they always play them tough. Seattle is and it's back and forth with those teams.
By the way, coming up the night before Thanksgiving, Turkey Bowl 6 right here on WIP. It's presented by Cheney University, empowering minds, cultivating leaders, and shaping futures. And we are proud that on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, that's 9 days from now, Wednesday of next week, Paul the VI against Camden Catholic. Right here on WIP. This is something we've been doing since 2018, I think. And we do it every year, other than, obviously, pandemic-related years. We have, you know, a high school game featured here on WIP, Thanksgiving. Although, a lot of games moved to Thanksgiving Eve this year, which is why some of those games were eligible. And this game won the voting. So, congrats to Paul the VI and Camden Catholic. We look forward to being out in, as Al Roker would say, your neck of the woods. And we'll feature the players from those two schools and have a blast. It should be great. By the way, speaking of great, Creed, how about it? I'm not talking about the movie. Creed the band, they're going to be at the PPL Center in Allentown coming up on December 2nd. Now, tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. But for this concert coming up in 2 weeks, Ticketmaster.com. You can also win a pair of tickets right here today. And here's how you do it. You got to answer this question. Like the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, what was underwhelming? A lot of things through the years have been underwhelming. Quite a number of things in sports, but also outside of the world of sports. When you think of underwhelming, best answer by the end of the show, whoever provides it, is going to win the tickets to see Creed coming up on December 2nd. John Ritchie, when you think of underwhelming, what comes to mind for you?
This one really hurt me because this is a movie. It's a remake. It's got Liam Neeson. It's got Ralph Fiennes. It's got Sam Worthington from Avatar. The new Clash of the Titans. Clash of the Titans, that original with Harry Hamlin, I think his name was, 1980-ish, 81, whatever. Yep. Man, that was formative for everybody. That was my favorite movie as a little kid. Greek mythology came alive because of that movie for a generation of kids. Man, this the remake of Clash of the Titans, awful. So disappointing. So underwhelming. Paled by comparison.
We're going to get big answers today. Seltzer, what hits you for underwhelming?
2024 Red October.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Ooh.
That's a great answer.
That hurts, man.
2024 Red October was over before it began. Rhea, what do you got here? That's a really good answer. Rhea, what do you got?
It was funny. I was talking about this, like, bus. I'm going to go sports. Tony Mandarich.
Who was supposed
to be, like, the greatest offensive lineman ever. He was drafted ahead of Deion Sanders.
Sure was.
Barry Sanders, yep. Derek Thomas.
That's right.
He was just a mess.
Yeah, no, he was a mess. Look, a lot of ways to go. I'm going to go to the world of movies. And this wasn't, in my opinion, a bad movie. But it was underwhelming based on the standard that had existed from the 1970s into the early 1980s. And it's when the first of the new Star Wars came out around, what, John, 2000 maybe?
99.
Yeah.
That was underwhelming. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't exceptional. Mm-hmm. It was like you leave the movie theater.
I wasn't as upset about it, but I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
But with the Jar Jar,
it wasn't
thing,
on the same level though.
They were up in arms.
The original three, it clearly wasn't on the same level. You know,
yeah.
And like, let me be clear. Like Godfather 3, I wouldn't consider underwhelming. I'd consider it disastrous. Like mm-hmm. The first Star Wars, meaning the fourth made, to me that's underwhelming. Doesn't necessarily equate to total disaster. I mean, maybe it can, but I view it as like something like, I'm glad I watched Mike Tyson fight the other day. I would have felt like I missed it if I didn't. I would have felt like, so, and again, I'm glad the fight happened in that we get closure. And now we know. Here's the next guy we need to know. Seltzer. Herschel Walker's been saying for 25 years he could get back in pro football and be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this proof that he couldn't?
Yes, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
How about Terrell Owens? He's another guy always saying, I can get back. I could be dominant. So is this proof that Terrell Owens couldn't be dominant?
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know about Terrell.
Yeah, I think so.
Terrell is
guys,
a freak.
I mean, John, he's got to be,
you know,
he's gotta be in his 50s, right?
I think he's late 40s, I think.
Is he?
Okay.
I think
he's older than I am.
I mean, God,
is he?
Yeah.
By the way, how about Aaron Rodgers, 41? He is done.
Hooked.
He's done.
You can't take that sack.
After the Eagles being good, it's my second favorite storyline this season.
It's incredible, though, how bad they are. What are they, like 2-8, 3-8?
Yeah, they are 2-8, 2-8.
Yeah. Carroll's 50, so same as you.
My God, that is a horrible way for Aaron Rodgers'
career. Terrell might be able to still do it. Terrell might be able to line up as a tight end.
Terrell Owens or Aeneas Smith?
As a split tight end. What? As a what?
Isn't that the guy's name?
Aeneas Smith?
Because he's the other guy. He's like the fifth receiver guy.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have? Twitter poll question, Terrell Owens or Aeneas Smith down the stretch of this season? 215.
I wonder what Terrell could run in the 40 right now. If he could run a 4.65, I bet he would be a useful, like split tight end hybrid.
Well, anyway, look, you can react to the fight the other day, to the weekend from Pro Football. What stood out to you? And again, for your chance to win the Creed tickets, what was underwhelming? Let's talk to Hassan in Strawberry Mansion. Hassan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Hassan?
How are you, pal?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. That fight was super underwhelming. But if you believe that Tyson was really legitimately fighting all the way through, I got a sock of beans to tell you, Joe.
Dude, he had no energy. I think he was trying his hardest. Look, I don't know the rule about whether he couldn't hit certain spots, but I do think he was trying to throw blows and just didn't have it in his bag anymore. I really do. I mean, Hassan, he started out strong, and he just petered out quickly.
Have you ever seen a Tyson fight?
No, you know what? I went through the entire 1980s and 1990s, and I never watched one, Hassan.
How dare you?
I said, I'm closing my eyes. Of course I saw him fight. I saw him fight at Hassan.
Did he look any semblance of that? Even when he just fought Roy Jones a few years ago, did he look any semblance of that?
Hassan, he's 50. He's 58 years old.
He was 58 years old in them tapes. You can say what you want. Boxing ain't basketball. You still got to move.
He wasn't getting hit in the. He was fighting a punching bag for 20 seconds in those clips.
Did you think his legs could really hold up? Did you think his legs were there?
I think his legs could hold up. His legs didn't look there either. Yeah. No. Yeah. But that fight didn't look there either.
Look, Hassan, I'm a Mike Tyson fan, but at a certain point, you got to acknowledge. I mean, we've seen it from athletes before. I mean, look, I'm too young for the Willie Mays thing, but people say Willie Mays with the Mets was one of the worst things ever.
The thing that troubles me
was an announcer. Let me remind you, Cedric the Entertainer was an announcer.
Wait, and what's the point? I'm confused.
He's saying it was scripted.
No, it wasn't scripted.
Look, if there was an uppercut clause, you know, that does bother me.
That would bother me too.
Because that's Tyson's sort of bread and butter. When he gets in tight and the guy's trying to, you know, hold him, trying to restrict him, like he gets one of those in there. Like he's not gonna try to tie him up the same way. That when you're 5'10" and you've got the reach disadvantage your whole life the way he did, that's like his most finely honed weapon. That uppercut just getting right in there where it needs to.
But Hassan, I forget the exact number. At the end of the fight, it was like he landed 30 punches or something.
But is that why? Because he's restricted by his choice? I don't know.
He threw 98 punches. He threw 98.
And he connected on how many? 30-something, right?
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, I called about Jalen.
Go ahead.
And I'm tired of this Jalen blasphemy that goes on daily on the station. Like, do you think they're calling up in Kansas City trying to get rid of Patrick Mahomes because he threw 11 interceptions this year?
Of course not.
Because Jalen only threw 5. And they talk about how he's such a turnover machine and this, that, and the third. Jalen is leading his division. He's arguably going to lead the NFC when it's all said and done. Like, get a man a shot. Like, let's give him a shot.
Cheer on
our team instead of look at and nitpick everything that's wrong with him every week. Like, things are going to happen. They're human. They're going to make mistakes. Nobody's going to play the perfect game. Let me let you in on the
list. No, you're right. You're right about that. All right, Hassan, give me an answer here for what was underwhelming.
The process.
Oh, that's a potential winning answer.
You know,
this is my vote.
That's a really potential winning answer.
Joe, it's an interesting dichotomy. You know, I think as a fan base, we have lessened our acrimony to some degree, you know, after the Super Bowl win. Mm-hmm. I do think we grew kinder and gentler to some degree.
Yeah, Donovan was judged harder than Jalen is comparatively.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
For sure.
But in some respects, this is creeping closer. I don't quite understand why. Just Jalen getting judged, and maybe because it goes back to Donovan. Maybe because, you know, we are eternally frustrated by the quarterback position, and it's just, and it carries over generationally.
Well, here's what I'll say.
I don't know exactly why.
Yeah, look, here's 46 years, and I've consumed sports for close to 40 of it, hardcore, with memory of most of it. The two most criticized and focal point people in Philadelphia sports are almost always the quarterback of the Eagles and the coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, the most important people.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
It is what it is.
I mean, I'd like to say that Embiid's more important than Sirianni, but it almost doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, now I'm not saying it totally doesn't matter, but you get my point. At a certain point, you got a team that's got a shot to win a title. The quarterback and the coach are big factors. And you know, I'm struck by the fact that both have been heavily criticized. I would say Sirianni has been more criticized this year, but it's very close. It's very, very close.
I will say, watching games yesterday, I literally lowered my criticism factor of him because some of the coaching I saw, Matt Eberflus of the Bears shouldn't have a job this morning.
Well, Brady was
the worst coach in the league.
At the very least, they should have done a quarterback sneak and just moved the ball 2 or 3 yards ahead.
That's it. Yeah.
And then instead of 46 yards, it's like 43
you
yards.
You had a timeout.
You had
like
a timeout.
30 seconds.
You had a timeout. He probably didn't trust his young quarterback. He thought an offensive lineman might jump off sides, but I thought it was stupid.
Wow, it was remarkably stupid.
Now, you should still make the 46-yard field goal, but I thought it was stupid.
Bad kick.
And Brady
it was a low
right,
kick.
Right, I know, but Brady called it. Brady was right on it. I mean, Brady was saying during that telecast.
If he pulled it back, the trajectory would be lower?
No, not that. Brady was saying as the clock was going from 30 to 25 to 20 to 15, Brady was saying they should run a play. They should run a play.
Right. Sure.
And they didn't run a play, and it makes Eberflus look worse, and I think rightfully so. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.